setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
Coming to you live from Ramsey Studios in Nashville, you're joining a conversation about who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and how you can get there. You get the answers to those questions, and then you do something about it, you're not going to be miserable on Monday morning, heading into a job that you can't stand, just trying to make it through to Friday. So you can drown your misery and sorrow over the weekend. You were created to fill a unique role. That means you are needed. That means you must do it. Somebody out there needs you to be you. And so we are here to help you do that. It is all about you. Your calls. Drive the conversation. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Jax, who's on the line in Shreveport, Louisiana. Jax, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man. Happy to. How can I help today?
Well, I'm 28. I have a mental disability, and I just don't know what my passion is.
Okay. What is your mental disability?
It's called microcephaly. Basically, when I was born, my head was smaller than the average baby's, and I was supposed to be mentally retarded, but I'm not. I actually graduated from the toughest high school here in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Not a boy.
And I've got an associate's degree.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what is, again, your disability? How does it actually hamper you? Because I'm listening to a pretty heroic dude right now who
was, yeah.
So what? How does it affect you mentally in a negative way?
I have a learning disability. I can't really drive because it's just too much of a mental overload.
Okay. So you can't drive. And then, again, I want you to tell me, how does it affect your learning ability? Because, again, you graduated from one of the toughest high schools around. You got an associate's degree. So you have been able to figure a way around certain challenges. The reason I'm asking this, Jax, is we need to know what your limitations are. And once we know your limitations, then we maneuver around those limitations. So, again, how would this mental disability, this learning disability, how does it hold you back? What are the areas, besides not being able to drive, what are the other areas?
Well, I guess I've kind of learned how to, get around mm-hmm. it with when it comes to math and everything.
Okay.
But because I do have trouble with math, but
okay. Well, great.
So does a lot of people.
Hey,
hey,
Jax, I struggle with math. I mm-hmm. dropped college algebra
yeah.
5-6 times. I lost count, actually, how many times I dropped.
Twice.
Yeah. Well, that's better than me. So no worries. Okay.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. Let's move on. So let's okay. talk about direction. You've been listening to the show long enough. I hope you have some idea when we talk
yeah.
about well,
yeah,
what you're talented at. Let's talk about
training.
Good. Well, let's talk about what you do best. What if I interview people who know you best, Jax, they take, well, Jax is really good at this and he's also really good at this. What would they say?
Listening.
Okay. Keep going.
Determined, hardworking.
Good.
And a strong work ethic.
Good. See, that's a strength. That is a character strength right there. So we want to be really clear about what you have to offer. And you're a good listener. You've got good work ethic. Anything else that you can think of at the top of the list? Things that you would brag about if you felt comfortable bragging. What would you say?
Well, I took a career assessment thing like yesterday before, and they told me the top three traits I have are social, artistic, and enterprising.
All right. Do you know what those mean to you personally? Meaning, when you hear that assessment spits out artistic, do you agree with that? How are you artistic?
Yeah, I mean, I do kind of like to write, and I kind of do like to paint, and I can't draw to save my life, but I do kind of paint.
What kind of stuff are you painting?
I do kind of like to write. I kind of suck, I think, but I do kind of like to paint, and it's geometric shapes.
Okay.
Stuff.
All right. So here's the deal. So I love yeah. that you're honest that you suck at painting. So we're going to put that off the list. That's not a talent. So they said you were artistic.
Yeah.
So I'd be a little skeptical of that career assessment. Let's go over to the stuff that
yeah.
you love to do. You're 28 years old. I think you're a pretty honest guy. I like how self-aware
yeah.
you are. Let's just be really honest for a moment. Spit out, if I could pay you the amount of money that you just threw a figure at me. He said, Ken, I want to make this much money. And I said, great, no problem. Here it is. What would you do tomorrow? Go.
Well, I mean, I've always kind of really loved professional wrestling. So, I mean, if I could do something professional wrestling, that would be awesome. Or okay. Helping people.
All right. Specifically, how would you help them? Or who are the group of people that you go, Ken, I would love to help these people because of blank? Answer those two questions.
Well, I mean, helping other people with disabilities because mm-hmm. I've gone through that. Yep. And also the transgender community because I'm transgender.
Okay. So here's what we've got right now, Jax. You have identified, mm-hmm. you've identified passion, okay? You've identified a connection to a group of people. Here's what we know from your story. That you have struggled and overcome a learning disability, which I even hate that word disability. I really do. I understand nobody means it ugly way. But here's the reality. You have ability. And not only do you have ability, you have developed that stick-to-itiveness, right? We make that word up. You've heard that before. But this idea that you can get around challenges, you can climb over hurdles. I think your homework assignment right now is to do two things. Number one, I want you to take what you told me, which is you're a good listener, and you told me that you are, you've got a great work ethic, you've got that perseverance chip in you, you've got a lot of tough road that you've overcome. And I think you take that listening skill and you go talk to some people who know you really well. They're not people that are just going to make you feel good, but that'll tell you, okay, Jax, this is true. You're also really talented and gifted at this. And I would get some verification so that you get some confidence on some things you do well. Feedback is huge in this process. Now, once you get feedback on what you do best, because I think there's a couple other things that we could put on that list. Now I want you to do some research in your area, Shreveport, Louisiana, and surrounding areas. And I want you to find people, those two people groups that you established as, I'd like to help people. Specifically, I think as a listener, let me tell you where you can start. As somebody who's a good listener, who has dealt with the challenges of the disability, how can you serve and listen to other people who are struggling with their own disabilities and they feel down? They feel like maybe they don't matter. They feel like they don't know where to go. I think you need to research all the different areas that are serving those with some mental disabilities. And just as you do the research, then you need to go talk to people who work in that space and say, hey, here's my story. Here's what I can do. Here's where I struggle. So I'm going to have a role, a job that allows me to not have to deal with math. You know, that's pretty easy. And I think when you do that, this homework, those two homework assignments, I think that's going to give you some more clarity on, well, this is what I'd like to do. And then you need to test it and try it. But that's where you are in this moment on your journey, is getting clarity by confirming what your heart's kind of telling you, they're the type of people you want to help and how you want to help those people that you have a connection to. That's what you got to do. And it's pretty simple, but it's going to take some time, as I said, the research and then stepping out and giving it a try. Don't go anywhere. More of your calls right here on the Ken Coleman Show. Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. Do you want to make more money to do what you love with the people you love? Have you ever thought about bringing in more income by selling products on Amazon? I want to introduce you to Seth Kniep, the founder of Just One Dime. Starting with a single dime, Seth built a multi-million dollar Amazon business, and you can do it too. With 126 staff and Amazon expert coaches, Just One Dime has trained over 10,000 people from around the world, many of whom are now multi-millionaires. Their award-winning online training, along with personal one-to-one mentorship, will walk you through the entire process, including opening your Amazon seller account, building your brand, selecting a profitable product, finding the right supplier, launching your product, and marketing and managing your online business. If you'd like to learn more, schedule a call today by going to jod.com/Ken Coleman. Again, that's jod.com/Ken Coleman. shining the light on your path to fulfilling your purpose. I am Ken. This is the Ken Coleman Show. So excited to have you with us. Oh, we're new, folks. Well, we're not really that new. Been doing this thing nationally on Sirius XM for a couple years. Now here we are on your radio station, and boy, oh boy, are we having fun. Different kind of radio show. This is talk radio that's going to lift you. How about listening in to other men and women who are in similar situations that you're in? They're sick and tired of being sick and tired of going to work on Monday. Enough is enough. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Zach, who's on the line in King, North Carolina. Zach, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how you doing?
I'm living the dream, buddy. How can I help?
Just looking for some advice and or creative ideas on how to bridge the gap between where I'm at now in my career, which is estimating and project managing for a structural steel erection company. Mm-hmm. So we put up the big columns and beams, the structure of big commercial buildings and whatnot. So how to get from there to the long-term goal, which is acquiring either the business that I'm at now or starting my own.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a relatively easy answer. And I think you know the answer, but you're looking for confirmation. And I think that the answer is the bridge is you're going to have to continue to make more money. You're going to have to move up in the industry that you're in, keep moving up the ladder, because every time you move up, you're making more money, and you're going to have to put a lot of money away, because to either acquire the current business that you're in, you know, you probably have a ballpark idea how much money we're talking about. And I don't want you to have to go into debt there. I'm not a fan of that at all. So you're not going to hear me say it's okay. And then the second thing is starting your own business. And again, that's going to take capital on two sides of the fence. The one fence is personally, you know, I want you to have at least 6 to 12 months. And to be honest with you, if you're going to start your own business one day, I want you to have 12 months of your expenses in the bank, living expenses. So you've got 1 year to bust it and not have to worry about living at all. You just get to hustle. On the other side of the fence, you're going to need a certain amount of money to get started. I don't know how much that is, because I don't know your industry very well. Do you understand what I'm saying? But I'm guessing it's a pretty capital heavy business. Am I right?
Yeah. So what we do, it's labor only, so we don't have to worry about the material and whatnot. However, we've got a lot of heavy equipment,
right,
and yeah, things like that on job sites.
Right. So are those pieces of equipment rentable, or do you have to buy them?
Absolutely. Everything we have on job sites, we can rent.
Well, so is this
obviously the margin shrank whenever you're renting equipment rather than owning it.
I understand, but you don't have debt. And so if you were to start this thing on the side, you start getting a couple projects and you build the cost of rental into the job, and your margins are a little bit lower to get started. But guess what? You get started, you have some profit, and you got a happy client, and that's going to lead to another one. So however much capital you would need to get this thing started, that's a target in your mind.
Yeah, I'm a bit reluctant on starting my own, just mm-hmm. because I've been with this company since I was in college, working out in the field, getting my boots dirty,
hanging iron,
you know, physically doing it.
How much do you think it would cost to buy your current company?
$1 million.
Okay, what's your financial situation? How far away are you from that?
Personal finances are good. We're out of debt. We're on baby step 4.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, getting to that point is going to take a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The one option that I've thought about, you know, the owner of the company that I'm at now and I have talked about eventually acquiring the business. But one thing that I thought about is whenever he's ready to get out of it, maybe offering just to manage the company at set amount, you know, and then banking a percentage of my income at that position,
yep,
and just buying equity of the company.
That's what I'm thinking. So, you know, is this our strong personal relationship here?
Yes.
How old is the owner?
He'll be 60 this year.
Has he even thrown out a potential exit date?
No specific target date.
Does he know that you want to eventually at least be considered as the new owner?
Yeah, we've had multiple conversations about it, and actually just started talking about it again last week.
I'd keep going with the conversation. I think you're in a good situation. You're doing really well financially, and my instincts are your instincts, because I think in the next 3 to 5 years, hopefully you're continuing to have more detailed conversations. Are you the day-to-day leader? What's your current role?
Yeah, myself and our operations manager handle day-to-day operations.
So are you considered the president? Or what? What's your title?
No, the current owner is the president.
Okay.
I'm I'm the only estimator we have and only project manager that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm making more decisions pertaining to the active jobs, upcoming jobs.
You know, my question is what could you do if you put your mind to it? What would you do if you could just spend all your time on a growth strategy over the next 1 to 3 years? What's the key to this company growing in revenue?
We're continuing to grow, maybe not in size, number of employees.
Mm-hmm.
However, since I started estimating and the jobs that I sold have been on the books, you know, we've gone from $2.3 million a year to $4 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. We're continuing to grow annually, which in turn, as the margins are good, they help me because I get, you know, I'm involved in profit sharing and things
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. So I would sit down with him and start having more aggressive conversations than you're having over time and start throwing some ideas, low pressure ideas out and see what he likes, what he doesn't like, and start moving maybe some of that profit sharing into some equity. And you get a little bit more equity, and as this thing grows and you move it. But if you could personally start pointing to some of the huge growth off of some new strategies and things that you've brought to the table, you know, I would keep having that equity conversation. I think it gets to a point where you will be able to buy the company. And I feel much better about that than starting your own company. So, you know, keep your mind open and keep the conversation going. All right, let's go to Betsy, who's on the line in Midland, Texas. Betsy, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. I was calling. I am thinking about moving to the Hill Country, and I have been kind of seeking out a job and was going to see if you had any further suggestions. I have looked at some towns that I like, and I have made calls to clinics that I like there.
Uh-huh.
I have gotten on a website that has jobs. I have them emailing me any job openings. I have sent resumes to some of the places that have job openings.
Yep.
I have also walked into a clinic at a place where we have a home and have presented my resume there, and I haven't gotten anything back. And so I was just going to see if you had any further suggestions so far as things that I can do in searching for a job.
Yeah, I see. See, this is very easy. Yeah, because you're driven and you're strategic.
Yes.
I think the only thing I would add to what all you've done is that I want you to try to make a connection in these areas. So once you find the town or towns that you're open to moving into, you have got mm-hmm. to look all over Texas, right? You think of everybody you know in your area right now in Midland. And then that one area where you mm-hmm. walked in off the street where you said you had a home. You
yes.
know, do you know people in that community? Yes or no?
Uh-huh. Yes.
So you've got to go to those people and say, hey, I have applied here. I'm looking at this place, this place, this place. Show them the list. Do you know anybody
okay.
that works there? That's the
okay.
first question.
Okay.
And if they
okay.
say no, do you
uh-huh.
know what your next question is? Do you know anybody who knows somebody?
Okay.
Because remember, acquaintances are almost always the better source of a job, not your internal network. Because you know everybody that your close network knows. So you want to look at who they know that they know. So you're doing all the right things except for what I recommend in my resume resource at kencoleman.com. It's free. Anybody wants to go get it, I show you a template. You change the way, you flip the resume, we go with who we know first, which means you got to go find somebody where you have a solid connection. It could be two connections removed, but they're solid. The person goes, well, this is my aunt's daughter, and my aunt's amazing, and I know, you know, whatever it is. Okay, it's my cousin, blah, blah, blah. Point is, you got to make the connection. You got to turn over some rocks, and you got to get somebody who is an influencer in that company where you want to work, the clinic you want to work at, and they walk your resume in and said, hey, my best friend is old college friends with this lady. They've kept in touch. She's amazing. She's got a lot of qualifications. She's come from Midland. I think we got to look at her. This is what's not happening for you right now. You're just another resume in a pile. You walked in off the street. I love that. That works sometimes. But they didn't know you. The relationship is what gets you the job. You got to know somebody that knows somebody. All right, folks. Time flies when you're having fun. And boy, oh boy, are we having fun. Good news. More coming. Don't move. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Hey folks, Ken Coleman here with you. When it comes to looking for a job, most people would probably agree that the whole experience is not fun. But it doesn't have to be this way. ZipRecruiter gets it. In fact, they've actually figured out ways to make the job search process better and easier. And candidates who are invited to apply on ZipRecruiter are nearly three times as likely to get hired. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. It's absolutely free. Put ZipRecruiter to work for you. Welcome back, America. You're listening to the Ken Coleman Show, where people come to get clarity on the age-old question. Why am I here? Well, you're here to do something that matters deeply to you for the benefit of others. There it is. You can take the rest of the day off and soak on that one. 844-747-2577 is your show. I don't have the answers you do. I promise it's my job to get them out of you. So if you're feeling stuck, confused, scared, doubtful, whatever the situation may be, there's no shame in your game. And we are here for you. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Amy, who's on the line in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Amy, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help?
So I have a job now. I work at our church. I love what I do. I love who I work with. I feel like I'm in my sweet spot. I work 3 miles from home. They're very flexible, but we just had our first baby.
Yay.
She's 3.5 months old now. Thanks. And I am struggling leaving her every day.
Yeah.
So I would love to figure out a way to be able to stay at home. But part of my question is, am I just being unreasonable and, you know, that I am in my sweet spot? So do I just need to kind of suck it up?
Well, do you need the money? Do you need this job?
We do. Yeah.
Okay. So you'd have to work somewhere, correct?
I would.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we have to deal with reality. Before we get into emotions, we have to deal with our reality, because
right.
Emotions aren't really good sometime about, you know, filtering reality. So I don't know if you could replace your current job that you have at the church that's in your sweet spot anyway and would have all the flexibility that you already have with them. So, you know, let's just face it. You got to work right now and you got to work somewhere. This is the best situation. You're struggling to leave her because it's a girl, right? I hope I said that right.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
You're struggling to leave her because she's your first baby.
Yeah.
When baby 2 and 3 come along, everything changes. Trust me. I mean, it's not like you love them less, but I'm just telling you, this is all new to you. Are you kidding me? You're a brand new mama, and of course you hate leaving her. You know?
Yeah.
So my question is there a daycare situation at that church?
There isn't. I just emailed them today. Said, why don't we have a daycare?
Yeah. Well, how flexible are they? What when you said flexibility, what does that mean?
They're very flexible. If I need to take a day, or if I need to come in late, or you know, with flex days here and there, it's just, you know, for the most part, it's a 40-hour a week that I need to be here. So, but they are flexible as far as, you know, if something happens. Like today, I have her with work. I work with me right now.
Oh, my gosh. I think I hear her in the background. That's fantastic.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
No, you don't need to be sorry. We're not fancy on this show. Hey, Amy, let me ask you a question. How long have you been back to work since the maternity leave?
2 months.
Oh, yeah. That's what's going on. So you live 3 miles away. You know what I would do if I were you? I would go home every day for lunch.
I can 3 days a week. 2 days a week she's at the sitter. So, but I definitely can 3 days a week.
Okay, but on the 2 days she's at the sitter, have the sitter bring her to lunch to you.
Okay.
You're already paying the sitter.
Yeah.
Just schedule her into your day right now. I mean, 3 days a week, you get to go home and see the little munchkin. I would do that.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Because, you know, think about it. You get an hour for lunch. It's going to take you 4.5 minutes to get home. And you get to spend all that time with her. And you come back and you just feel so great because you got to see her. As opposed to not seeing her at all. You're fine. This is just, it's very normal. It's your mama heart. You're going to be fine. Trust me. Wait till she's like 2 and throwing everything all the time. Then you're going to go, I'm not going home for lunch. I need a break. You know?
All right.
You got You got it, Amy. Oh, it's fun. New mama. Of course. I'm going to tell you something. That takes me back to the first week we brought Ty home. And I had to go to Florida. And he's like 7, 8, 9 days old. And this trip, I was consulting at the time. I had to do it. It wasn't one of those things I could get out of. I was self-employed. So I had to go. And I got to tell you, I must have kissed that kid no less than 200 times in a two-minute span. And I couldn't leave. Like, I kept kissing him. Daddy loves you. Daddy's going to miss you. All this kind of stuff. I couldn't get out of the house. Finally, my wife was like, you got to leave. He doesn't even know. Like, he's just asleep. He doesn't care. You know, but I felt I was overcome with guilt. And my mom and dad were there. And I'll never forget, my mom heard Stacy say that. She came up to me. She goes, you know, Stacy's right. He won't even know that you're gone. Like, don't even worry about it. But I just didn't want to go anywhere. I just wanted to stare at him. You know, we had had trouble, you know, getting pregnant and all that kind of stuff. And we were blessed to adopt. And so it just meant so much to me. I get it. That's normal. But listen, folks, you got to work. You got to work. And come up with other ways to soothe the heart. And at the end of the day, you're going to be fine. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Tanner. Tanner's on the line in Yuba City, California. Tanner, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for having me.
Sure. How can I help?
Hey, so I'm a young guy. I'm 24. And I just got out of a job that I thought would be my sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm looking towards something else. And I've got a lot of people around me, a lot of connections. And I'm just wondering how to start these conversations once I get them to coffee. What kind of questions should I be asking the people who are experts in the field that I want to be in?
Okay, great. So you do know the field you want to get into, and you know the people that are in those fields?
Yes.
Okay, great. So first thing you need to ask is, there's no particular order. Let me give you a couple basics. And these apply to you and to a lot of people when you're having these initial proximity conversations with people that are doing what you want to do. I think you want to ask, hey, as a 24-year-old who wants to be in this field, and I think I want to be in this position in the field, what do you think is the best path? That's a good question. Another question mm-hmm. is, what do you love most about what you do? Okay. That's after, by the way, you ask them, tell me about your role, what you do day to day. Then the follow-up is, what do you love most about it? What do you not like about it? What do you think about qualifications? Is there, you know, what do you think is the best way to get qualified? That kind of is a follow-up to that, what's the best path? What you want to learn from them is what do they do? How do they do it? What do they love about it? What do they not love about it? What was their path? What do they think they would change about their path? You starting to track with me?
Yeah. Just kind of learn everything there is to know about what they do.
Everything. That's not difficult. But I gave you some sample questions. I'm just popping really quick. Those weren't necessarily in order. But you get it. My point is, you have to treat yourself like you're an investigator, and you are trying to be able to give a oral report. Can you give a 5-minute oral report on their career? Because if you can if you can do that, you've gotten the answers that you need. And,
awesome.
And here's the deal. There's a temptation for you to say, hey, can you help me? And I think that's okay, but it would be at the very end. After you have said, hey, thank you for doing this. I really appreciate the time. This is massively important. If you think of anything else that you think I need to know that just pops in your head, would you shoot me an email or a text or call me? Because I really value your experience and your wisdom and your knowledge. And listen, if something opens up that you think might be a good opportunity for me to connect with somebody else, I'd love to connect with them. Would you make connections for me? You're not saying, hey, go get me a job. You're coming at it that way. And here's what's going to happen. That person is going to feel honored, and that person is going to feel like, hey, this is a humble and hungry and smart dude, and I'm going to have my radar up. And I'm going to be looking for an opportunity to help out Tanner. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen, Tanner, if you do what I just told you, you're not going to believe the results. And by the way, it's a rinse and repeat. You don't just do that once and go, well, I checked that off the list. No, you need to do that multiple times. I can't tell you how many people I met with. I'll bet it was close to 20 people early on when I knew that broadcasting was the path. And I was just meeting with anybody and everybody and was just interviewing them. It was huge for me with information and relationships. Don't go anywhere. We're going to get more clarity for more of you coming right up. This is The Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back, America. You're listening to The Ken Coleman Show, the place where people come to get clarity and confidence. Clarity on what it is they're supposed to do and confidence. They've got a good plan to pursue it. Doesn't have to be so scary. Now, fear and doubt, they're going to show up. But we're not selling these cliff dives. Boy, it sounds fun and they're great stories. But in reality, not so effective. We're going to get you to a place where you know exactly what you're supposed to do. We're going to create a plan, help you understand that that plan is doable, and then watch and cheer you on as you step steadily into that sweet spot, the intersection of what you do best and what you love to do most. So let's go. 844-747-2577. Let's go to John, who's on the line in Los Angeles, California. John, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks very much for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help?
So I'm a little bit in a dilemma here. I'm sort of deciding whether to stay in a sort of quasi-entrepreneurial adventure with a partner or to kind of go back into the corporate world for what I was doing.
Okay, so you got to give me the reasons why you would go or why you would stay. So let's start with why you think you would potentially leave this partnership to go back to corporate America. Why?
Sure, because the type of work. I'm doing a little bit different type of work in the partnership versus what I was doing in the corporate world. It was more sort of commercial real estate type of work. I found it fun. I'd be part of a larger structure, organization, probably better pay, at least in the short term. And it could probably be a little bit of a move a little bit further south in Southern California, which my wife and I were thinking about.
So all of those are positive. Everything you just gave me as to why you would leave the entrepreneurial partnership, those are all positives.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
They are. Yeah, yes, they are.
So then tell me why
the one negative I would say is, you know, I always have a little bit of an entrepreneurial bug. So I'm feeling I'll kind of, I guess, quench that, you know, if I leave the partnership.
Well, this role in corporate America would be corporate real estate.
Yes. I mean, you know, there's a whole sort of variation of how you and who you can work for.
What would you be doing? Yeah, tell me what you would be doing.
It would be more of an asset manager function, portfolio manager. You're managing the finances of large buildings, kind of on the ownership level.
Here's my question.
Managing or developing them.
I get that. And so would that not be a commission type role?
No. Like I said, there's lots of ways to kind of look at it. Usually they're nice salary type of jobs, or there's a little bit of bonus or a little bit of commission, but they're rarely straight.
Well, I didn't say that. I didn't say straight commission. I'm saying if you're managing someone's assets and you do a good job, are you not going to keep getting a piece of that action? So some form of a bonus / commission.
Yes.
So
that's correct.
So another question, if you keep doing that well and growing, you make more money, yes or no?
Oh, yes, I definitely will.
So that means your performance and what you put into it is directly related to how much money you make?
Yes. I mean, I would at least say in part. I mean, because it's a salary type of base.
Yeah, but dude, you're overthinking this, John. Come on, John. Listen to what I'm saying. John, I know you have a salary. You would have a salary, but you would also get a percentage of the assets you manage if they grow, correct or not?
That is correct, yes.
Is that not based on your performance?
Yes, it is.
All right, so stop thinking so hard. So the reason I'm setting you up this way is for you to realize that that is an entrepreneurial venture. One of the core values we have at Ramsey Solutions is you are self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically for people that are paid on their efforts and their results in some form of commission, you are entrepreneurial, are you not?
Yeah, I mean, if you put it that way, I guess so.
I'm not putting it that way. I'm putting it the way that it works. I'm not trying to trick you, John. I'm trying to help you understand that you're not saying goodbye to your entrepreneurial spirit if you get out of this partnership.
Okay.
You see, you set it up one way that makes it kind of like, well, the one negative is I'm an entrepreneur at heart and I'll lose that spirit. No, you won't.
Mm-hmm.
Who says you can't eventually start your own thing down the line? Now, here's where this all comes to fruition, John. My guess is things aren't going super great with this partnership. Am I right?
It's going okay. It's just one of those things. The work is it's a construction type of thing. Yeah.
I say to you, John, I got to guess that this is not going great. Am I right? And you go, well, it's going okay. In other words, you should have just said, yes, Ken, you're right. It's not going great. It's not going great. It's not spitting out the revenue that you thought I would spit out. It's taking a lot of your time. And because of that, you're asking me, should I go back to work that I really love and that I'm good at and step out of this entrepreneurial partnership? Isn't that what you're asking me?
Yes, that was a more eloquent way to do it, yes.
And John, I'm having fun with you, but I'm trying to help you get outside of your brain. The way you're thinking about this is all messed up. You need to get out of this thing because it's not a good thing for you. Can you get out of it is my question. As a partner, can you get out? Is there an exit strategy?
Oh, yeah. I can definitely get out. It's not a formal partnership. It's like a profit sharing type
okay,
thing.
Okay, then get out.
I can leave whenever I want.
Then leave. Yeah. Leave soon.
Because
it's not working for you. Am I right?
No, it's not.
All right, then. So let's keep it simple. Get out of that. Go do what you love. Go crank it. Make some money. Make more money than you've ever dreamed of making. And then keep that entrepreneurial dream alive in the form of what would I want to do on my own one day? That's directly related to how I do in this asset management role. And go kill it and know that this is a season. And one day there's a business you'd like to launch. Am I right?
Yeah, I would think so.
All right. So the first step towards living that dream and truly being an entrepreneur is getting out of this partnership that doesn't work enough, doesn't work well enough, and go do what you love to do and kill it financially. Then we plan, we save, and we create another entrepreneurial venture down the line. That's how this is going to work for you, John. Let's see. Let's go to Janice real quick. We can do this. Janice, you're on the Ken Coleman Show. Ontario, California. Janice, how are you?
Good. How about yourself today?
Good. How can I help?
I find myself in a situation where I'm alone for the first time in about 25 years. I'm having troubles being able to afford my home in my current situation. And I want to try to be able to find something that I could earn myself some more money, something that I enjoy doing to earn money, and then yet keep my current job that I've been at for 16 years.
So we're talking about a side hustle, extra money.
Right.
Well, what is? I think you have some ideas. I think you've got a lot of ideas. You're just scared to death of it, which is fine.
But I am, exactly.
So tell me, give me one or two of your ideas.
Well, I think the things that I would like to do, I think are very difficult businesses to get into, and that is doing voiceovers, some kind of, radio situation, or maybe even a podcast to start out kind of thing. And also I do, like comedy and that kind of thing.
Okay.
And I know it's difficult to, just start out in something like that right off the bat. But I did hear about a podcast thing where you could set up your own podcast online. But I'm not familiar with that.
All right.
Exactly,
okay. So let's ask, how much extra money would be ideal? Let's just name that.
$40,000
more?
Yeah.
And you want to do that as a side hustle?
Yeah.
What are you doing now?
I'm working in inside sales at a parts company.
Okay. Are you on commission?
No.
Okay. So a couple thoughts here. Number one, in order to work 40 hours a week in an inside sales role and do this on the side, it's going to be very difficult to make $40,000. But let me just say this. For you to get into voiceover work, you can do that, but you need to actually practice the proximity principle and start meeting with people that do voiceover work and get an idea of what they charge and how they get themselves out there. And even local small radio could pay you part-time, hourly, to do read the news and things like that. But I got to tell you, I'd like you to transition into a sales role that has commission so you can make a lot more. And then let's start the side hustle. In this economy, you need to be in a sales role with commission so that you can make the 40 on your own. Selling, then create the side hustle. Our time is almost up, but before I let you go, you do matter. And you do have what it takes. Thanks for joining the conversation. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we have more from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future.
Hey, listeners, I'm George Camel, and in this 8-episode podcast series, we're exploring the student loan debt crisis and the impact it's having on real people. We're going to expose the predatory nature of the student loan industry, how we got here, why student loans are such a big deal, and what can be done to avoid them in the first place. We'll hear stories of people burdened by student loan debt and be inspired by people who graduated college debt-free. We'll also hear from experts and thought leaders along the way.
To hear full episodes, just search Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts or go to borrowedfuture.com.